Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
There's a ground ball in the hole. A sliding backhand pick. Out at second. Out at first. Double play. What a play by Davis to start a 6-4-3 to win the inning.
That is one of the great broadcasters in our game these days. That is Wayne Randazzo, who calls games on Friday night for Apple TV. He calls games all year long with his partner Mark Gubaza. Out there in Los Angeles doing Angels games. Used to be a member of the Mets booth with the great Howie Rose. And a long time ago, he was doing updates right here at 670 The Score. Before Danny Parkins killed scoreboard updates.
That's right. He destroyed both of us.
Yeah, he really did. We welcome Wayne Randazzo to The Score right now. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Wayne, it's the Spiegel and Ohm show. It's me, Spiegs, and him, Mark Grody. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, guy? I didn't know that was a Parkins decision. You know, that probably crushed a lot of the incoming broadcasters' careers. To have those updates was huge for guys coming up in a lot of markets, including, of course, Chicago.
Hey, man, Jordan Bernfield's life has never been the same. You know what I mean?
And don't worry, Wayne. We got Danny the hell out of here. You know what I mean? We shuffled him out of here.
Yeah, the reign of terror.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, the reign of terror had to end.
I was thinking maybe you and I get together and compare some adjectives for the scoreboard updates a little bit later on. Maybe we go back and forth, do a little 3-2, 4-2, 6-5 action. You know what I'm saying? Obliterated, pounded, thumped, destroyed. Those are words that we used. Yes.
Ragtagged. Yeah, perfect.
Pummeled was always one of my favorite. The Cubs pummeled the Rangers 15-3. Pummeled.
Incredible. Now Wayne is rolling big with Apple TV and hanging out in Milwaukee in advance of the Cubs and the Brewers. Pretty crazy, Wayne, that the Cubs have played 32 games and obviously acquitted themselves quite well against some of the best teams in baseball, and this is their first look at the division rival. It's an odd little kink of the unbalanced schedule, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's a good thing, though, for the Cubs to have had so much success against the Dodgers and the Padres and the teams in the West, because now they can look at the other teams in their division and I think at least gain more confidence knowing that they've been able to handle the best of the best already. So I think it can only help them with the way that they played against those teams. And I don't think it's going to necessarily be a cakewalk for them against the Brewers. I mean, it's still a team with some talent and a team that knows how to win, more importantly. And same goes for Cincinnati, a team that's up and coming in their division too. So it's not necessarily going to make them a 10-game division winner, but I think it will give them some confidence in these other games.
You know, the Cubs offense is right up there with the Yankees and the Dodgers, top three in just about everything, which is crazy. And they're also, I think, they're like fourth in baseball and men left on base. Which is quite something, Wayne. So like, as you travel around the league, do people think this Cubs offense is for real?
Well, I think, you know, Kyle Tucker makes that so. I think because of the way that he has been so successful, and I don't know how much you know the league more now than I think you would have 20 or 30 years ago. But Kyle Tucker, when you see him day in and day out, you realize that this guy is an incredibly special player. So, yeah, and the Cubs have other good players. And Carl Armstrong's become, a guy that's starting to come into his own and emerge as a breakout star, too. But I think the way that Tucker is perceived changes the perception of the Cubs offense to be like, yeah, well, with this guy, yeah, you can be for real. And you can score a lot of runs because this will be the one superstar in your lineup that can carry you.
Do the Cubs look like a team? And I know we're so early here, Wayne. I mean, they're clearly capable of winning the division. I think that they have been the favorite. They should be the favorite. Does it look like a team that's capable of winning playoff series, though, at this point? Do you think they've developed to that point or that possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. In 2016, I don't think they win without Aroldis Chapman, right? I mean, they brought him in July, and I think that was an obvious need that they had to shut down ends of games. And I don't think they win the World Series. I don't even know if they get to the World Series if they don't have Chapman. I think he's changed them in that bullpen so much. Mm-hmm. So you still look at this Cubs pitching staff and you see that they probably need another starter because they lost Justin Steele. They probably need another reliever or maybe two because their bullpen seems a little thin and they've blown some leads already. So I don't know if you're ready to say that. I mean, every season it seems like the Brewers win this division and they win 90 plus games and then they go into the wild card series and then they get beat up. Somebody mm-hmm. else takes them down. The Cubs, I think, still have to show that the pitching can be for real in October. I think the lineup is good enough, but I think the pitching needs to catch up with where they need to be to beat teams like the Mets and the Padres. And another thing, I think the Cubs really need to focus on not only winning their division, but getting past that wild card round.
Yeah.
Because if you can get locked into a 3-game series with San Diego or San Francisco or some of these other good teams, the Phillies, and they just came to Wrigley Field and won 2 out of 3, that can easily happen in October. And if you can just skirt by it and get that bye, I think they'd feel better about having a longer series to start with.
I think that, and I made an argument that the win that the Cubs had over the Pirates yesterday might have been their most important victory, not because it's the Pirates, but because they beat up on Paul Skeens. And there was a time, I mean, part of the reason for the breakup of that Cubs championship core is they just stopped making contact, and they were really overmatched by the elite guys. And I know a lot of teams are, but you have to be able to hit that guy and those types of guys. How impressed were you watching the Cubs do what they did again? I mean, that's called passing a test, I'd say.
Yeah, it's beaten the number one, and maybe a number one of the number ones in Skeens' case because he's been so strong. But you're going to face aces in big, important games. And if you can be able to hold your own offensively in those types of games, then you really have a chance to break through and get as deep as you can in the postseason. And like I said before, I think if they can create a pitching staff that can at least maintain some of these leads and not make the offense have to work extra hard to score 8, 10, 12 runs and win a game, then I think that's where the Cubs need to be to feel like October's real for them.
I want to ask you about the Brewers, but first, Wayne, who's the team tonight? I know Heidi Watney's on the sidelines. Who's your partner tonight?
I got the D-Train, Dontrell Willis.
Yeah.
That's amazing. For Cub fans, that's a rough memory because Jack McKeon used every great starter he had in relief in 2003.
Yeah.
You know?
We talk about 2003 probably every Friday. It's burned in both of our memories. We were both at the Bartman game, although in much different capacities. And he's an unbelievable guy. Dontrell's the greatest.
Did you do play-by-play?
He was in the Cubs organization.
Yes,
of
course.
As a Cubs minor leaguer.
Was he a Kane County Cougar?
He was. Yeah, he did stop through there as a Marlin.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Who was he? Was it Felix Heredia he was traded for?
Oh, it was the Mac Clement Al Fonseca trade.
That's what it was.
Which wasn't so bad for the Cubs either.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a starting pitcher.
Well, Al Fonseca had, those extra fingers.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a great moment in Cubs history. Hey, we finally got a six-fingered guy. I mean, they're very valuable.
That's right. So what was your role at the Bartman game? Were you in the stands?
Just sitting there fretting. Yeah, that was my role in terror as the Cubs were going through that eighth inning. That was my role. His was in the bullpen laughing at all the Cubs fans' misery.
Wow, man. I was at game seven. I was at the next one when Kerry Wood started, fell behind, and then homered, and then fell behind again.
6-5.
But that's amazing that of course it comes up between you and the D train. That's amazing. So were you and Dontrell just now in there talking to Craig Counsell with the access that the broadcasters get?
We were in there. The Cubs radio broadcasters were in there too. So Coomer and Zach Zaidman were in there. And it's always good to talk to the managers. And when you come in and do a game once a week for a team you're not seeing every day, you know, it's nice to be able to talk to the managers and kind of get a little bit of a deeper look, deeper lens into what's happening with the ball club. And, you know, extra special, I think, for Craig to come here to Milwaukee, manage against his mentor, Pat Murphy, and also with Bob Uecker passing in the offseason, his first time back here since then. So it's an interesting little layer to this series and to having the Cubs play the Brewers.
So can you tell us all the off-the-record stuff that Craig gave you about certain issues that we discuss all the time?
We'll shake you down if you don't.
Yeah. Believe it or not, managers don't tell people who come in once a month the off-the-field, behind-the-scenes stuff very much. They are still pretty... Even though it's an off-the-record conversation, they are still pretty close to the vest.
All right, well, how are your conversations with Ron Washington?
I mean, there you go. Give us a little...
those must be fun, Wayne.
Yes. Now, he works a little blue, I will say, but, you know, he does give you a little bit more of what he's really thinking. And, you know, the Angels are having... You know, they've lost 13 out of 16, and it feels dark and bleak there right now, and they are hoping that they can start playing better and pile up some wins, because there's still a lot of time left to turn things around.
Honestly, though, is Wash having fun? He's a great personality, a fun personality. I hope he's still enjoying himself.
He will have fun anytime he is at a Major League Baseball field or any baseball field. I don't think he equates fun with winning and losing necessarily. Of course, he loves to win and wants to be a part of a winning culture, and largely has throughout most of his career, so he's not used to losing. But he loves the game, truly, and he wants to do this until he physically can't do it anymore. So everybody respects Wash and loves having him around, and he loves being around.
Yeah, you know, I got a Brewers question, but one more thing on Wash. I think it was the Sunday night game. They were talking about how Dansby Swanson was talking about how Ron Washington demanded that he oiled the gloves of the infielders. He wouldn't let them oil their gloves. And so now Dansby Swanson, Wayne, he oils the gloves for all the Cubs infielders now about once a month. Is he still oiling the gloves out there?
I'll have to ask him if he's still oiling the gloves. I think he can probably get somebody else to do it for him. You know, Ryan Goins was with the White Sox for a little bit, is the infield coach, and he's kind of like the mini Wash right now. So he's probably the one oiling the gloves. But,
okay.
You know, Wash, he wants to talk about the game and work through things with anybody who's interested in doing so. Remember when Pete Alonso made the All-Star game a few years ago, he came back all impressed by Wash. Because he said, here's a guy who's the infield coach for another team in our division, our number one rival, really. And he spent all this time with me talking to me on how to become a better first baseman and become a better infielder at the All-Star game. And he said he was blown away by it. But that's who Wash is. He wants to make everybody better. He wants to make the game better. And he just loves baseball. He loves everything about it.
First base, it's incredibly hard.
Classic. Wayne, the Brewers, the organizationally, it seems like every year they've become that team that is able to withstand the losses of big-time players and still somehow sprout the following year. You know, the Brandon Woodruff injured, Corbin Burns long gone, Willie Adames, thank God for the Cubs, that guy is gone. All of this to say, are the Brewers one of the best organizations in baseball?
A really good organization. You know, they have a pitching philosophy that they stand by. They want to fill up the zone with fastballs, and whether it's a cutter or a two-seamer or a four-seamer, they're going to throw a lot of fastballs from their pitching staff. And, you know, Pat Murphy was just saying they had 11 of their top 18 pitchers hurt from the beginning of spring training until now. So they're constantly trying to find different pitchers to come in and just pick up the line. Not to mention they're not spending money. I mean, Adames is gone, and who's replaced him? They got a guy in-house to come in and play shortstop, and he's not hitting very much. So they're trying to always find ways to work through what is a challenge for them in terms of spending money, because they're not going to. So, you know, Jackson Chourio is developing into one of the better young players in baseball. Bryce Terang and Sal Frelick and some of these guys. They have a lot of little engines that can on this ball club. And Pat Murphy says, you know, it's better to have those guys instead of the number one pick who comes in and maybe isn't working as hard. He likes having these grinders on his team because he knows he's going to get the most out of them. And that's how he feels they're going to work around the margins to try to win some of these games.
You know, going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
That's interesting. A few years back, what David Stearns, what he was building there, it was a lot of power, and some of it was in lumbering guys who couldn't really play D. And now they've got a lot of those young guys you're talking about. They're so much more athletic and, you know, kind of flexible and fast, which a lot of the league is going to. I think they've kind of pivoted on the fly, like towards the end of Stearns and in the early part of Matt Arnold's time here. Do you get that sense?
I do get it. I think it comes from the manager too. Pat Murphy likes these guys. Remember, he coached Arizona State, and his favorite player was Dustin Pedroia, and all he talked about is Pedroia, and this was the number one player in his mind. This was the guy that he felt like in baseball is the one that can go above and beyond, because all he wanted to do was win. All he wanted to do was beat you. All he wanted to do was get the most possible out of every little ounce of ability that he had. And he's kind of building this Brewer roster in guys like that. You know, Frelick's from Boston, and Pedroia was his favorite player. Terang's another just tireless grinder. And he loves having those types of players around, you know, based on all those days back when he had Pedroia. So he's building the roster with guys, maybe not as talented as that, but that work and fight as hard as he did.
As long as we're just kind of talking about the game a little bit, and I mentioned David Stearns, what the Mets are doing should scare the hell out of everybody. Because it's like, it's Cohen's money, and it's Stearns' brain now. Remember when they were paying everybody? Like, they're paying DeGrom and Verlander and Scherzer. Now they've got this rotation of, like, Clay Holmes and David Peterson and Tyler McGill.
Griffin Canning, who had a 5.5 ERA last year.
Yeah, your guy Griffin Canning, the former Angel. They have the best starting pitcher ERA in baseball by a wide margin. It should be terrifying, don't you think?
I would say so, and with the way that they are built to score as well. I mean, Soto is just now getting going a little bit. When that team starts to click offensively, I think they're going to really be a runaway, maybe in a tough division in the National League East. So it's going to be interesting to see how they from here. But if they're going to be able to make players and pitchers better than they were in any other place on top of the money they can spend, I mean, that's the ideal scenario for any team.
Yeah, the Mets have a 2.24 starting pitcher ERA at this point. It's a half a run better than the Rangers, and nobody else is under three, Mark Grody.
That's pretty amazing. Wayne, I got a little tidbit for you. I got something for you to anticipate for the game. So hear me now and believe me later. Craig Counsell is going to get booed tonight. I don't know if you knew that, Wayne. He's going to get booed tonight because that's what happens. What's that?
That could be.
Yeah, that could be.
I heard he's a turncoat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got booed last year, and it clearly upset him, actually, last year.
Yeah, so did that come up at all in the backstage interview? I don't know if the collective media has gotten their hands on Counsell.
Still going after Wayne to get that Counsell inside.
Yeah, just a little bit.
He said he feels it will be less emotional this year than last year. So that could be what he was referring to. But he feels like they kind of got a lot of it behind them last season, and now it's less weird and less emotional.
All right.
Well, I think he's still going to get booed. I mean, I understand. I get it.
I mean, if Quentin Berry's going to get booed. There's another third base coach turncoat. They're everywhere.
Who we didn't remember playing with or
working. Oh, that was the best.
Yeah.
That was the best. Do you know this story, Wayne? I had Quentin Berry on Hit and Run a couple Sundays ago. Council did not remember that Quentin Berry was a player for him in 2018 in September. He's like, and he was greatly offended by that. That like, I was like, what? I thought you coached for me. He's like, yeah, I coached for you, but he didn't remember that he was a player. It can be hard to remember those guys. You know,
it can be. The managers go through it. Somebody was asking Wash about Gustavo Campero the other day, and they said, you know, what do you think about Gustavo? And he goes, I don't know, no Gustavo. Well, it was a new outfielder that he had. He said he only knows the last name. So if you'd have said Barry, maybe that would have rang a bell.
All right, last thing. How about Luis? It's Renjifo or Renjifo?
Renjifo.
Yeah, so yeah. Renjifo, I thought. So how about him? Should he be a Cubs dream for third base this year? They need one.
To me, the dream, if I was the Cubs and I'm looking at trying to bolster the team, I would say Kenley Jansen's the dream to me. Mm. He's still really good, and he probably won't be needed if the Angels don't turn things around. He's only got a one-year deal there. So I think Kenley will be a pretty hot item. I mean, Renjifo's a good player, and I think when healthy, he's a switch hitter. You know, he's not the best defender at third base, but he is a guy who does make a lot of contact and can punch the ball around. He's a utility player, really, and I think that, you know, teams will certainly be calling about Renjifo at the trade deadline. But if you're looking for an Angel to bolster your team in July, I would think Kenley Jansen's number one on the list.
I mean, Kenley used to be like the poor man's Mariano Rivera, throwing that cutter all the time. What's he throwing now? Because the mix has expanded.
Throwing the cutter. 85% of the time he's throwing that cutter.
Wow.
And he's a real winner. I mean, he knows how to get the job done in the ninth inning. He doesn't sweat anything. And the career credentials just keep pointing him toward Cooperstown. I think he's still got a lot left in the tank.
Wow.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize he had so much left in the
tank. Me neither, because it was kind of hit and miss in Boston even.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Wayne, you got a favorite baseball family? The Alous, the Alomars, the Gurriels?
The Hairstons?
Maybe the Randazzos. I mean, that's a baseball family.
Yeah,
it's starting to be. That's a good question. Baseball family. I would say the McGills. Trevor McGill and Tyler McGill, the two tall brothers from California that are now a Mets starting pitcher and the closer for the Brewers.
Great
so
answer.
I'm going to go with them.
Yeah,
nice.
It's a good. I forget which one was a Cub briefly. I think it was Trevor.
Yeah, it was Trevor. Trevor McGill.
He was here for 5 minutes.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it. Great visit, man. This was fun. Enjoy the ballgame tonight.
Thanks a lot.
You got
thank
it.
You. Good to talk to you guys.
See you, Wayne.
It's Wayne Randazzo.